friends. Welcome to Advanced Video Classroom. I'm Campbell. Today is day three of our Newsworthy Clips article for June. We're so excited that you've joined us for today. Today we are on page 24 of our Advanced magazine. If you have the magazine, please do join us there. If you have your mobile device, please do open. We are, today is June 15th, and we will be studying our article for today. And in the studio, I have Albert and Linda here to help us once again with our article. How are you guys today?
Good, thank you. Glad to be back.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you join us today. Looking forward to it.
All right, guys. So the past 2 days, we've been talking a lot about technology, right? The first day, we talked about how Facebook is creating new tools to help visually impaired people to have a better experience on Facebook. Yesterday, we learned how computers are becoming more creative and may one day start doing more creative things like cooking and writing movie scripts, etc. And today, we are shifting our focus. We're going to be learning about a group of people who are helping adult learners learn how to read, right? So today we're going to be talking about literacy. Okay, now this term literacy is very interesting. What does literacy mean, Linda?
That is the ability to read and write.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, we did talk about this word literacy in our May article, but at that time we were talking about a different type of literacy. We were talking about knowledge or competence in a certain field, right? But today, again, as Linda is saying, we're talking about the ability to read and write. Now, most people learn how to read and write as children, right?
Right.
But today we're focusing on adult learners and how this group of people with this organization called Literacy Works is helping people learn how to read and write. All right, so let's get into our article again. We are on page 24. Please do join us at the top of the page.
With unique techniques, literacy tutors can reach adult learners. Tears welled up in Nubé Vidal's eyes when she remembered how lost, confused, and scared she felt when she arrived in Chicago from Ecuador. Not only was she in a new city and new country, Vidal also couldn't speak English. My daughter was in kindergarten. She had homework I didn't understand, Vidal said. The letters, the bills. I couldn't understand the paperwork for the doctor. 5 years later, Vidal is not only fluent, she also helps her children with their homework, handles all of her household logistics, and even assists her friends and neighbors with learning the language.
All right, so we start our article with a very touching story of a woman named Nubé Vidal, and she is from Ecuador, a country in South America. And she moved to the United States and moved to Chicago. And when she first arrived, how did she feel?
She felt like she was not only in a new city, a new country, but she was confused and scared and lost because she also couldn't speak English.
That's right.
And she faced a challenge that most immigrants, you know, to another country face, not being able to speak the language or having this language barrier.
Right. I personally know what this is like. I mean, I guess we can say I'm a twice immigrant. I was born in Asia, and then I moved to the United States and then moved back to Asia. So I remember a little bit of this experience when I was younger, right? So we hear a story of how Nubé's daughter was in kindergarten. And what happened then?
She couldn't even help her own daughter with the homework because she couldn't understand it.
Yeah, you know, when I was in first grade, I remember our assignment, we had some spelling words, and we had to put them in alphabetical order, which just means we had to put them in order from A to Z, right? But I didn't know what alphabetical order was. I had just moved to the States maybe 2 or 3 years before then. So I had no idea how to do that homework, and I brought it home. My mom didn't know how to do it either. You know, my mom's English, she studied studio classroom, so she had really good English, but she'd never done alphabetical order. You know, they don't do that here.
So what would be considered basic, right? As an immigrant, you don't know what that is, right? So that can be really frustrating.
Yeah.
And to be fair, in what context would you need to, sort things in alphabetical order? No, actually, I take that back. But I feel like I remember a professor telling me in college how literacy is so important. It's like the basic foundation to allow people to be good or to be able to trust people, because if you can't verify something that someone else said, you verify by going through records that are written down or histories or like internet, and you can't make informed decisions.
Right. Being able to read and write is very, very important. And I didn't understand that until I moved back to Asia, right? And so this next part of her story where the letters, the bills, I couldn't understand the paperwork for the doctor, this part I experienced as an adult moving back to Asia, because I, you know, as a child, my parents tried to teach me to read Chinese.
Right.
And they were like, it's important. I want you to learn how to read and write Chinese. I was like, come on, I'm living in America. No one speaks Chinese. Why would anybody need this?
That was totally my mindset as well. And something as simple as reading a doctor's note for instructions on how to eat one pill. Right. You know, I mean, like, if you overdose, that is a serious thing.
Exactly. So coming back to Asia, I didn't understand the street signs, I couldn't read the menus, I didn't know, you know, the street names, I couldn't fill out the paperwork at all. You know, I remember going to the doctor and being like, okay, I don't know, you know, where do I write my name, where do I write my address, what is this, you know, and it was hard. And and all three of us, you know, we are all Asian Americans, right, Chinese Americans, and I'm sure we all have that same experience where we come back and everybody expects us to speak Chinese because of the way we look.
Right.
But then when we don't speak, you know, fluent Chinese, at least at first, then people start looking at us really strange and you kind of are embarrassed. Well, I was embarrassed to ask.
I'm totally there with you.
Because they were like, well, why can't you understand? Like, because they look at you like you're stupid.
Right. Exactly. And that's the stigma of being illiterate, is that you're seen as stupid.
Right.
But you can be intelligent, you can be a professor, you know, in the country that you came from. But if you don't speak, you know, the language of where you're living, then you're seen as stupid and unintelligent.
Exactly.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. And I remember when the first day I was here, I couldn't read anything, you know. And my roommate, Steve, a lot of you know Steve, right, teacher Steve, he is this tall white guy, and his Chinese was way better than mine, you know. And so he was reading the menu and translating the menu for me, you know. And the waitresses were looking at me like,
what's going on here? Exactly.
So I've
had similar experiences. When I first came to Asia, actually, it was in China, and I didn't speak any Chinese because I didn't grow up speaking Chinese. My parents don't know how to speak Chinese. And so the friend that I had was a Canadian, and she was black, and she had been living in China for several years, so her Chinese was great.
Yeah.
And so she would be the one, you know, speaking Chinese and communicating with the attendants, but they would still look at me, and I'd go,
I don't know, let her handle everything. Yeah. See, some of you don't know, but Linda is like fourth, fifth generation, right? American or third?
Yeah, fourth generation.
Yeah, fourth generation American. So, you know, a lot of times by then, a lot of the, you know, the language is lost, you know, and you just speak English mostly.
Yeah, it happens.
So I can completely relate to Nubay Vidal's story, as Linda and Albert can as well. But the good news is, 5 years after she moved over, something happened, right? She is now fluent, but she also does other things.
Well, because she's literate now and she's fluent in English, she can help her children with their homework now. You know, before she couldn't. And she's also able to handle all of her household logistics, which is just all the things that are involved in running a household, the procedures and the details of that. And she even assists her friends and neighbors with learning English.
That's right.
So she has gone on to help others after becoming literate.
That's right. And I think that's really great that once you've been helped to be able to turn around and help others is very, very important. I love this idea because, you know, and that's what we're here for too, right? We're trying to help people to learn English and how to become more fluent and literate in English because it is very important.
Right, and I really like this story because, you know, she's a mom, you know, she, you know, has to juggle many jobs and different things to handle. And over time, I mean, it took 5 years, but, you know, over time she was able to learn the language. And in turn, also, like you said, teach other people.
Right, yeah. So I don't know how many of you have ever experienced being illiterate, but it's not fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not easy to... I mean, how do you figure out how to pay the bills and how do you figure out where to go? It's hard, you know, and it can be very, very daunting. And when I first came back, I was single, you know, I just had to take care of myself, but she had children. She needed to take care of her family, and that is a big challenge.
Yeah, way to go her, and you know, audience, don't be dissuaded.
That's right. So we're proud of you, and we're glad that you're studying with us so that you can improve your English and become literate in English, which is very, very important. All right. Well, let's continue our article and see how Vidal got her success.
Vidal is one of thousands of people in the Chicago area who have benefited from literacy tutoring and adult learning programs offered by Literacy Works. More than 600,000 adults in the Chicago area can't read or write well enough to meet their goals, said Christine Kenny, Executive Director of Literacy Works. About a quarter of them are immigrants or refugees who have landed in the U.S. with little exposure to English. People who struggle with literacy are some of the smartest people you will ever meet because they have learned to navigate without this necessary skill, Kenny said.
All right, so Vidal is one of thousands of people in Chicago who have benefited from literacy tutoring and adult learning programs offered by Literacy Works. And we see sidebar there about Literacy Works. Albert, can you read that for us? It's at the top of page 24.
Yes. Literacy Works, the organization trains about 900 tutors and professionals each year to staff about 50 adult literacy and education programs. Trained volunteers and professionals go to community centers, churches, and educational centers using the techniques they've learned to teach adults literacy.
I think that's really great. So there's obviously a need. You know, the United States has many, many immigrants from all over the world. So it is important for people to learn how to read and write. And so they have these programs out there that teach people how to teach others how to read.
Right. And just want to point out that a quarter of these people who are illiterate are immigrants, you know, or refugees who've come to the United States, but the rest are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have gone to school, and but they still aren't able to read and write well enough.
Right.
And it's possible they have a learning disability, mm-hmm. that they weren't able to learn properly. So like we mentioned before, this can be very daunting.
Right.
If you've grown up in the States, you're expected to be able to read and write.
Right. Yeah. And so I think a lot of times many of us take it for granted, the ability to read and write, you know, and until you're put in a position or put in a place where you're unable to do so, then you realize just how important being able to read and write is. So I think this program, Literacy Works, is really great. So we see, again, some statistics here. More than 600,000 adults in the Chicago area can't read or write well enough to meet their goals. And this is told to us by Christine Kenny, and she's the Executive Director of Literacy Works. And as Linda was saying, a quarter of them are immigrants or refugees who have landed in the U.S. with little exposure to English. And the rest of them are probably Americans.
Right. And it's this figure, 600,000 in just the Chicago area, is surprising to me. But yeah, like, you know, I feel like Lindo was making really good points, and also just like, hey, you know, if you have this program, you give people a chance and you let, give them time, you know, they will be able to in turn contribute to society and sometimes even make such a huge impact on us.
That's right. Okay. And we have another quote here, by Christine Kenny, and she says that people who struggle with literacy are what?
Some of the smartest people you will ever meet, because they have learned to navigate without this necessary skill.
Yes. So we've actually talked about this a little earlier, right? Just the idea that just because you can't read or write doesn't mean you're stupid,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in fact,
by no means.
In fact, you need to actually be very, you need to be quite resourceful,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly.
In order to survive in a world where you're not able to read and write.
Right. So you have to be able to pick up on clues, right? Or be more in tune to nonverbal communication,
mm-hmm.
like body language, right?
Right?
Because you aren't able to read or, you know, to find out what's going on, you have to use other clues.
Right. And I mean, just for example, like when we first moved back here, you know, I had to use a lot of the pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, for example, just the menu and just be like, just kind of point, like, I want that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because I wasn't able to read the name of the dish to order it. So you kind of have to learn how to figure things out from context clues and different things like that, you know, and it is very, very important to know how to read. And so we hope that this also is a reminder for people to just be kind to other people, right? And to know that just because someone can't read or write is no sign of their intelligence. And we should seek to reach out to help others. If we see people struggling, if we see people who don't know or don't seem to know what they're doing, let's try to help them out, you
mm-hmm.
know? I recently saw a quote online, and it was like, an accent, right, is a sign of bravery,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because it just means that someone was courageous enough to leave their homeland and move to a place where they needed to speak another language.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And so that took a lot of bravery. So instead of making fun of people mm-hmm. with accents, you know, whether it's Chinese, English, or whatever language, we should embrace that, you know, and just kind of celebrate the fact that they were brave enough to leave the comfort of their home.
Exactly. And I think in the U.S. we have this false assumption that if someone has an accent, we immediately, you know, think that they're not as intelligent or they're not smart because they don't speak English perfectly,
right.
or they speak it with an accent.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing is, as you were talking, I thought about the fact that there actually are a lot of Americans who have foreign accents, but they never actually lived abroad. But it's just because, you know,
their the area they live in. Yeah.
You know, where they live, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so we can never assume anything about anyone, right? And just because someone has an accent or someone can't read or write, it doesn't mean then that they're any less intelligent. And we should seek to help these people as much as possible. All right. So let's learn a little bit more about Literacy Works and what they're doing in their community.
Unique learning needs. Adults need tutors who not only push them to learn, but also give them customized lesson plans. We encourage our tutors to get to know their students and what's going on in their lives, Kenny said. You may find out they have kids in school and are trying to communicate with teachers. They may have a relative who's sick and need to communicate with nurses. As you learn about someone, you can create lesson plans that apply to them. For Vidal, learning to speak, read, and write in English is only a start. She has more goals in mind. I want to keep getting better and go to a university, she said. Here, I have the opportunity and I make the time.
All right, so we learned a little bit more about what adults need, right? What does how does this section start, Albert?
Well, it starts off that, you know, they not only need tutors, but, you know, sometimes we need people to support us, to push us, and also give them customized lesson plans. Something that's customized is, you know, to make or change something according to someone's specific needs.
Mm-hmm.
It may be from something like a Subway sandwich where you want to customize what your lunch is,
mm-hmm.
to a lesson plan where they can tailor it so, you know, you can match your pacing or what areas you're deficient or lacking in.
Right, right. And this makes sense because, you know, children are in school and that's pretty much what they're focusing on, right? Learning how to read and write and do math and science, history, etc. But adults, you know, a lot of times they're working, they have children, they have families to take care of, they have a lot going on in their life. So if they don't have someone to push them to learn, it can get pushed to the, you know, it can easily become less of a priority, right? And also, adults have more specific needs, so being able to customize lesson plans for each individual is very helpful.
Right. They also have less time, so they want to learn something that directly applies to their life or that they can apply in their life.
Right. Yes. So once that they see, hey, what I'm learning is actually useful and helpful, that kind of encourages them to continue to learn.
Mm.
Now, Kenny says that they encourage their tutors to do what?
To get to know their students and what's going on in their lives. So if the tutor can know more about their student, then they can tailor the lesson better to know what would be most useful.
That's right. So in order to customize, they need to learn what these students need, right? And they might find out that they have kids in school and are trying to communicate with the teachers. So then they'll teach them different words and phrases and things that they can use when they're speaking or writing or communicating with the teacher. Or what else might they find out?
Well, you know, I feel like when you learn something that's the most relevant to you will stick with you. So an example given is like, oh, maybe you have a loved one that's sick,
mm-hmm.
right? And you need to talk with the doctors or nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something personal to you. And if the teacher is able to help you out with that, you know, it'll make an experience and a lasting impression where, like, the next time you use these words or whatnot, you'll be able to recall it with ease.
Right. I remember when my daughter was in the hospital. Here's a funny story. When my daughter was in the hospital, the doctors would speak to us in Chinese, you know, and they would try to explain her condition and everything that was going on. And my wife and I were just getting overwhelmed, right?
Right.
We just were completely, I mean, it was...
Lots of new vocabulary.
Right. In essence, it was in second language. So my friends would be like, well, why don't you just ask them to speak in English? Most doctors, you know, they have to study, you know, medicine in English, mm-hmm. so they can explain it to you in English. We're like, okay, we'll try that, right? And so they start speaking in English, and we're still like,
what are they talking?
I still don't know what you're saying. Because
it's all medical jargon.
All medical terms, right?
Right. Specialized.
So, yeah. I can definitely understand the challenge of needing to communicate with doctors and nurses.
Mm.
So I think it's really great what they're doing. All right. Now we hear a little bit more about the doll. She learned how to speak, read and write, but that's only a start, right? She has other goals in mind. What does she want to do?
Right. She wants to keep working to eventually go to university. And so she has a higher goal in mind.
Mm. And she says that she has the opportunity and she makes the time. So I think it's a really great reminder for us. You know, a lot of us take education and take different things that we're given for granted.
Right.
But she definitely doesn't take that for granted. She really treasures the ability to read and write and speak, and she looks forward to increasing her education and getting more education.
Right. So learning to read and write, becoming literate was just her first step, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that allows her to have higher goals, to be able to aspire to go to university and to improve her education, further her education.
Right.
And so she's an example of using the resources that were available to her through literacy works. And there are also other programs, literacy programs, usually in public libraries, they have literacy programs.
Mm-hmm.
So where if you go, you can probably find a program that teaches people how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that's so important. It's a necessary skill.
Right. And since you are listening to us on Advanced, this means that you have studied English for a while and that your English level is at a, you know, is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage all of our readers, you know, if you have benefited from Advanced Studio Classroom, from our lessons and from our English, why don't you turn around and help someone else, you know? Since your language skills are so good and so high, why not use that and help other people, right? And I think if you can volunteer to teach others English, that would be really great. You know, use some of the things that you've learned and some of the things that you've gained and benefited from and turn around and use it to benefit and help other people and to improve other people's lives. That, I feel like, would be really rewarding to me if I heard about our students doing that.
And actually, when you teach someone else, you are improving your English, because if you can teach it to someone else, that shows you that your level is high enough to do that.
Yes, for sure. I think I've learned as a teacher that as I'm teaching, oftentimes I'm learning as well, mm-hmm. you know, and as I teach, I also solidify the lessons that I've learned and I become better and smarter.
Oh, this is totally true. I mean, we have this wonderful program called Friday Night Live, and I started teaching with Teacher Gordon, and, you know, it's over things that I remember learning in the Bible, but after teaching it, it's like a nice refresher. Mm-hmm. It's just really a great way to learn English or any material in general.
That's right. So we hope that today's lesson encourages you to go out and help others to learn English and to share a little bit of the knowledge that you have gained in your studies. And as always, we'd love to hear from you, so please do write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. Remember to check out our QR code, and that is on page 22, really do just keep up to date with what we offer you on Advanced Studio Classroom. But that's all the time we have for today, and we hope that you'll join us again for our next lesson. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.